Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Brett and Alex in the Super Beer Show. This week, the news, Pape Sylvia, and as always, Patreon presents Fan Q&A. The date is March 10th, 2023. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Super Beard Show. I'm Alex. There's Brett over there. Hello. Ted's over there. What's good? This is episode 16 of the show. It's called The Karth of Ran by Bearded Mata. There you go.
Works better when you say it. The Karth of Ran. I think it's a spoonerism of the Wrath of Khan.
The Karth of Ram.
Right. The Karth of Ran.
Yeah. The Karth
of Ran. As opposed to the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Welcome to it. Star Trek. You guys get it. Khan.
Thank you, Bearded Mata.
Wait, is Khan related to Dr. Singh?
Dr. Singh?
Isn't that his name?
Ooh.
What's the data guy?
Dr. Noonien Soong.
Soong. Different guy.
Yeah.
Khan. I thought Khan's name was Khan Noonien Soong.
No way, dude. I mean, I don't think it is.
Okay. Well, doesn't matter.
This is now the Star Trek podcast.
This is the Star Trek pod.
You know what? It could have been like 10 years ago. I would be like right there with you. But I just don't. It's been so long. I started watching Picard. We'll get into it. You know, we'll see. We'll see if I'm a Trekkie now.
Okay. We'll take the test.
I like the 90s Trek. I'll take that any time of the day or night. But we are here. Welcome to episode 6. Wasn't it fun to have Gerard on the show last time?
Whoopsies.
Wasn't that fun? He'll be back. He will eventually be one of the hosts of this show. We're just trying to get on that rotating life. So sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not. But then, you know, that'll be how we all are someday, you know?
Did you just reference to like everyone's eventual death? Is that what that was?
I meant that you and I will also sometimes not be on this podcast.
Because we're dead?
No, just because we're not on that week's schedule. But I know, I get it.
Okay.
But even though he's not here, one of the things that I did last time I really enjoyed. So we're going to jump right into a brand new sort of all new version of the news. A little too much W in that.
I liked it.
I don't know. Basically, I liked doing what we did last time, which was we went to the Patreon to ask for like current events in the news. And so I'm continuing that tradition forward with a lot more just interaction throughout the show. So I think it's fun.
Okay.
So first one for you in the news. There you go.
Usagi, no pronouns. We use no pronouns to refer to Usagi. Must say Usagi.
Rabbit.
Every time.
Rabbit.
Usagi asks, what are your guys' opinion on Nintendo entering the world of $70 video games with Tears of the Kingdom? Not much opinion at all. Like, yep, makes sense. Yep.
Just to give you context for that listener, all the other main systems games have been sort of soft raised in price by $10 as sort of like, I think that they took the opportunity to say new, more high-tech console, more expensive video games. I think, honestly, that the number is pretty arbitrary in general. Like, I think that the industry sort of decided on a number that could, like, they could use to predict profits. And I think this $70 thing is like, is Tears of the Kingdom worth $70? Ask someone in Australia, you know, you know, because they're notoriously expensive. Video games are notoriously expensive over there. You know, what do I think about it? I think $10 is not going to stop me from purchasing Tears of the Kingdom. And that if you thought that giant corporations weren't going to try and nickel and dime you at every turn, you know, I don't know what to tell you. They're definitely not looking out for you. You know, do what you can. If you want to wait till a sale, go for it. But I don't think there are going to be one for a while.
Thank you, Usagi.
Yeah. Next one's from Awful Possum, who asks.
Awful Possum.
Just an awful possum.
Terrible.
Who says, apparently WB canned a completed Scooby-Doo cross Crypto the Superdog movie, which is bizarre to me because WB is known to release these straight-to-video Scooby movies so often. So why can this one for tax reasons when Scoobert Doobert tends to just make money anyway?
Is that his real name, Scoobert Doobert?
Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, is that like his on his driver's license would be Scuba Duber?
Scuba Duber.
Yeah.
Which one has the right of way? It's a four-way stop sign. In America, you can take a left turn.
Okay, so the thing about this is that, like, once a thing is released versus once a thing is not released, it changes like where you can claim it and how you can claim it. And you can claim it, I think, as a loss if it never comes out due to like whatever restructuring or whatever. So a lot of things, this happened to a lot of things, like pretty much everything that they were making in production during the time that they, this like kind of merger thing happened and they started canceling stuff. Like we're witnessing the end of one WB and the beginning of another WB where DC Studios is off in another arm. So Crypto, right? The Superdog, he's from DC and is tied into that whole, the same thing with, I don't know if this is the Scooby-Doo movie that like just came out or was about to come out or what. I didn't know that there was a Scooby Crypto movie also, but I assume that they did it to the same reason that Tears of the Kingdom is $70, which is to just make as much money as make as much money as possible for the company and without any care for us at all, which I guarantee you is exactly what happened here.
You ever see The Producers? It's kind of like that.
That's like literally what
I like The Producers.
Kind of is. They kind of halfway through making all those things decided to producer every single one of them.
Yeah. They're not like make, but like the difference is they're not making something
shitty,
like trying to be shitty in order to fail. They're just cutting their losses.
Yeah. Like Michael Keaton was in the Batgirl movie, the return of Batman.
What Batgirl movie?
Yeah, exactly. Brendan Fraser was in there as Firefly. Could have been cool.
What Fraser?
Yeah. I don't know. Who's Fraser? Fraser.
I think I grew up knowing him as Brendan Fraser.
Fraser.
Yeah.
I've always been saying Fraser.
Let's ask him. You want to call him?
You know what?
Ted, can you call up your uncle Brendan?
Yeah. Can you call up
Acknowledged.
Acknowledged. Yeah, I'll get to that.
Dude, we broke Ted.
Ted has been saying acknowledged a lot, and I think he's in. I think he is part computer now.
He likes this persona.
Yeah.
Right? Ted, do you like this?
I just don't know what else to say. Acknowledge works so great.
I like it.
So, okay. I don't know how much that's bit, but here's the thing, Ted. I agree. I think there's a reason that like military speak is the way it is because it's clear, you know, like there's the reason, like when someone asks me a question, sometimes I'll be like negative, like you can't mistake that. You know what I mean?
100%.
As opposed to, like, is that yeah or no? Nah, you know what I mean?
Right. No. Or not, or saying nothing.
Exactly. So I appreciate you saying affirmative. Thank you, Ted Bot.
Yeah.
Or acknowledged, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Just to be clear, Scooby-Doo getting canceled had nothing to do with how much legs it had and everything to do with the fact that it was made when it was made and that big wig execs are not thinking about creating beautiful dreams for people who want to watch their movies. They want to make money for their investors.
I thought Scooby-Doo was canceled because of those disparaging remarks he made about cats.
They found out that he was doing drugs with Shaggy.
I was a ripping dog back then.
What did you say?
I did a lot of drugs back then.
I thought you said I was ripping logs back then.
I was ripping drugs.
I was like, is that a blunt thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. In dog world, it is.
Brendan Fraser.
Oh.
Your uncle is also a robot.
Listen, Ted, it's Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
Fraser.
So fuck, I was wrong this whole time.
I mean, that's too. A robot. Like the only way we'd really know is if like we asked the dude.
I'm going to have to call my family and tell them.
Brendan.
Next one's for you.
This is from George, who asks, Japan is currently suffering from a low birth rate crisis. Jesus. It is so serious that they're, what is that, Prime Minister?
Yep.
Recently said Japan will cease to exist if they don't fix things immediately. One of the current solutions is to offer a baby bonus to families that have children. Simply put, the government is willing to pay people to have babies. Is this food for thought the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Food for thought from George. How much would they have to pay you to have a kid? Is there any amount that would make it okay for you? Or is the thought of having a child an absolute no? That's interesting. Yeah, I think I would have had a child years ago if I had like, if I were like with some, that's not true. Let's say I were like, weren't with somebody for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If I were like a dad, I would have loved to have been a single dad if I were so financially stable that would have been like, no problem. You know what I mean? You got
like that pro athlete money or something.
Sure. Yeah. So the answer is, how much would they have to pay me? The answer is a fucking lot. Because I think that in order for me to feel comfortable bringing someone into this world, in order to teach them to be a healthy and happy person, I think that takes a lot of support, both from actual other people and financially. And I think that I do have some people in my life that could help with that, but not nearly enough for me to justify doing, which is why I haven't had a kid. I don't have nearly enough money. I just got a dog for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
I'm 36 fucking years old. Let me tell you this much. I got a dog and one because I got a raise. I'll tell you that fucking much. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, it would, like, I don't know the exact number, but let's just roundabout say, hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe.
Hundreds of thousands. That's less than I thought.
Oh, shit, for real? Yeah. What were you thinking?
I thought you were going to, like, kind of say something like, as long as I have the entire kid's future, like, mapped out in money.
I see what you're saying.
You know, like, so it just absolutely will not impact you.
Shit, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars isn't as much as I thought it was in this day and age. But I'm thinking, like,
man, eggs are like 10 bucks.
I'm gonna stick with hundreds. I'm not saying how many hundreds of thousands,
yeah,
but it ain't a million.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you're not that far away from maybe having a kid.
I'm extremely far away from having a kid.
Assume if you had if I gave you like $400,000, would you say like, perhaps an attic, shall I seek? Like, will you will you go for it?
If you suddenly put $400,000 in my pocket, would I have a kid?
Would it occur to you, I might have enough money for the kid that I've been wanting?
Like not immediately, but like after a couple months of like, how do I invest this and stay safe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do I make this money work for me? Eventually I'd be like, $400,000? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
are you saying you're not, that's not, no,
I know.
Same number, $400,000 in your pocket.
No way.
Wow.
I would never have a kid.
Okay. Let me keep going. 600,000.
I wouldn't have a kid.
$1 million, Alex.
$1 million.
How come you don't want a kid?
I don't. Okay. First of all, I know Kelly doesn't want to have a kid. Like,
let's say it's you and someone that does.
someone that does, maybe.
Yeah, the alternate universe.
I personally don't want a kid either.
Why don't you want a kid?
I don't want to bring up a kid in this world.
Why not?
I think that the world, I feel like in America right now, it's like a bad time to raise a kid.
Why?
There's not like every system is like in question. Our economy could be tanking. We could be like, I'm not even far enough away from it to say like, we won't be like at war with someone in our lifetime. You know what I mean? Like there's just too many things. And I don't personally like where I'm at in my life right now, thinking that much about a kid. Maybe if I was like 10 years from now and I was much more settled in my life, but like I have like 5 jobs. Like it's not time for me to have a kid.
That's why I'm trying to put that money in your pocket. So you wouldn't even have to worry about that.
I would though. Like I wouldn't just stop working and have a kid. Like, you know what I mean? See. Like it's more important to me right now where
here's what I'm saying with that kind of money I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
You could still do your work, but you could have people to help you. You could pay them to help watch.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being a negligent father who dumps the kid on a nanny 100% of the time, but you know, there's a reason rich people always have au pairs.
And you know what? Those rich people, famously great parents.
That's true. You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Here's the thing. If I was totally, if we were in like the new golden age and life was going grand and I had a bunch of money, maybe, but in the world of for reals, I don't want to have a kid at all. And no amount of money would make me have a kid.
There it is.
But just to speak a little bit on this Japanese crisis.
Oh, boy. Here he goes.
No. This is real. This is a real thing. I mean, you start to think about the economy and like how many people it's made for. And you realize, you know, for 10, 15 years, they've been having like no kids, even longer than that. It's been just going down, down, down. I can understand why they're scared. In America, I read something recently that was like slightly eugenics-y. So I don't know whether you want to take it face value or with a grain of salt or what, but they were saying that like people, there's like an education gap of like people, I don't remember if it had to do with intellect or had to do with education or whatever, IQ or whatever. I don't remember, but it had something to do with like smarter people or like more educated people. I can't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. 3 times less likely to have a kid, which is like not good for the future.
Oh, dude, that's like, I feel like that's been the case for decades and decades.
Yeah. And would you say that American culture and entertainment is getting like more tending towards like smart deep stuff or like simple surface level stuff?
Oh, I don't know, Alex.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
I was the one who, like, I remember when American Idol and like Survivor and what was it called? Temptation Island hit the airwaves in like literally the year 2000.
Yeah.
I remember I did have the words for it. I remember being 13, 14, being like, I think this is the downfall of Western civilization. Yeah, I literally talked to myself like, I think this is like it. Yeah. Like I can see it.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Like, it's like Idiocracy when it came out versus now. It's like very much closer to being Idiocracy. Like,
Idiocracy was the scariest movie I'd seen in a long time.
It's fucking weird. I don't want to get too deep into it because it does, like I said, it sounds a little eugenicsy. I don't.
Yeah. So what point were you making?
It's just, I don't know what's the worst crisis.
Between?
Not literally having any kids at all.
Or having too many dumb
people. Or just like a bunch of dumb people increasing the population.
I think I know which one is scary to me.
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't know. It's a weird thought to think about like the future based on birth rates because it seems so hardcore. It seems like so like unchangeable. Like it seems very definitive. Seems very like final to be like, well, so
you're saying you want to, never mind. I was going to make a really fucked up.
What was the name of the Bizarro Bizarro? Remember that?
Kind of.
I think his name is Zabarro.
Oh, dude, we gotta go get some pizza.
Yeah. I think his name's...
Can we order Sabaro's?
You want that? I don't know if you can even
That's
order.
What I'm saying. Is it possible?
I don't know.
In this day and age?
That thicky crust, though, I would have that right now.
Do you remember the I would always get it. Because where else could you see this beautiful monstrosity?
The wrap?
It was like a slice of pizza that had another slice of pizza on top of it.
Oh, like
upside down.
Like it was grilled cheese?
Yeah, but there was, it was like a...
What are they called? These things that look like a chicken bag. A stromboli? Is
something that
a
like thing? That.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, it was a pizza that had another crust on top of it.
And they just like panini pressed them together?
But I don't think they made it by making two pizzas and pressing them. I think they made it like
one. Like a calzone slice. Kind of.
But it was in the shape of a circular pizza. It was a fucking pizza. It was a circular pizza.
And then they just... put another upside down pizza on top, seemingly,
but I know they didn't do it that way.
Like a pizza sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never even heard of it.
It was like a pizza pie with a crust on top.
If I had that in front of me, I would be very interested to try.
Are you saying you never saw that at your local Sbarro's?
No.
Like chilling out?
My local Sbarro's is the one in the LAX airport. So like, it's like the pizza in a plate or the stromboli.
Man, I used to go to Crenshaw Mall all the time, fucking that food court. Hell yeah, I'm going to Sbarro's. Give me a slice of that fucking thing.
I love when I'm in a mall and there's a Sbarro's, but I don't have that walk-up experience outside of an airport.
Mm.
To me, it's simultaneous.
Like Ted has something to say about Sbarro's.
No, I was still thinking about the central topic.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, of population?
Yeah, what if instead of incentivizing birth rates, they incentivized like... foreigners moving there.
They don't want that.
Yeah. I mean, great idea. Great way to get that rolling.
It. Seems natural.
Yeah.
They don't want that.
But this would
be like, hey, let's have people that want to live here.
Yeah,
take whatever tests we have for them.
Yeah, but they ain't Japanese.
If there's a truly ethno state out there, it is Japan.
Shout outs to like the people. Like I remember reading people's opinions online. You know, this is back in the day before it was full mask off time. When like there'd be like white dudes out there posting about how they admire how ethnocentric Japanese
swear I'm not a Nazi, but that seems pretty chill.
Right. They're like, this is like, that's the way it should be, man. Just one culture. And I'm
like respect to cultural norms. You know what I mean? Like from my personal point of view, but like we're globalized. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's like, in America, because that it's an Asian country that we like aren't thinking about it the same way because we're so other to them. Like white people are so like stupid that way. I don't know. But that's how I feel.
Hey, George, thanks for that existential ass question, man.
Yeah. That was like the real news. We got the media news and then we got the like, hey, Japan has no babies. What do you think about that?
Good luck.
Japan. Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
All right. I thought there was more down there because I saw some more.
Oh, we got tons. It's all. Readers.
Oh, those are like for next time.
That's for next. They're for right now. And this is this is a new segment that I'm going to call a Pape Silvia.
Oh, I thought that was news.
No, Pape Silvia. That's the new segment. Pape Silvia.
kind of esoteric ass shit is this?
Pepe Silvia.
Yeah, I know the reference.
But it's pop. So now you're getting to the Pepe Silvia point, which, if you don't know, is from... How I Met Your Mother.
You have to explain this.
Look, Google it, and then you'll get the picture, and then you'll know.
I need context for this bit.
Okay, so the segment is... Everybody knows you're Kevin McAllister. The family got too much pizza. So that's how you can start a theory that
it's the pizza paradox.
They're meant to leave him, right? They're meant to leave him behind. Yeah. So in honor of that, we asked our patrons for their best deep cut theory from a piece of media.
Ooh.
And I want to break them down as little or as much as we'd want to for each one. I want to give us the time. Mm-hmm. And I also want to ask, because when you have the Home Alone one, do you have another one that you'd like? Does Ted have one? Do I have one?
Oh, I do have one.
Oh, great. What is it?
Before you say it, is this something you actually believe? Or is this like, it's just fun to think about?
I would say more favoring the latter.
Okay, let's hear it.
The little girl from Monsters, Inc.
Boo
is the same girl as the older sister in Incredibles.
Like Boo is Violet Parr?
Yeah, why?
Yeah.
Why?
There's not really a why, but
just because they might look alike a little.
It's like a headcanon-y. It's like a little. It's like a headcanon-y thing that makes you feel excited.
And it would explain why in the movie Monsters, Inc., she keeps disappearing and they can't figure out.
Okay, so there's when I ask why, there you go.
I see a little
bit of disappearance. That's cute. So she had her powers, but like wasn't aware of them. She was a baby, couldn't control them.
Yeah,
Jack attack.
I see.
But just just one power.
That's cute. I like it.
Violet attack. That's what we would name this episode if we were naming the episodes.
I like it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's cute.
Mine is from Cyberpunk 2077.
You're not gonna like spoil anything for me because I'd rather you didn't.
I'm not going to give you any specifics at all. I'm just going to say that there's a statue in the middle of Corpo Plaza that has a code on it. So it's not really beyond that. I don't know how plot related it is, but there is a mystery.
It
has nothing to do with the plot of the game.
What? Okay.
Yeah. It's a code that's FF06B5. Mm-hmm. Nobody references it in the game, but it's there, and there's three monks praying to it. Mm-hmm. And the code as a Pantone color is like that shocking pink color, which is present in Cyberpunk everywhere. And then there's a lot of theories about what it means. One of the monks says something about loosening the chakras of your throat or something like that. And then there's a they're in Misty's shop, which is like, you know, Misty's esoterica from the beginning of the game. Mm. There's like a piece of like her signage that has some it's like a chakra chart, and it has some similarly coded numbers and letters. Nobody's found out anything really for sure beyond that. And there's another four-armed statue type that appears, because the one in Corpo Plaza also appears other places and has started appearing in the apartments now as of recent updates, like the apartments that V can buy. And so I think they're trying to underline a little bit the significance of it, or at least tease players with this, because there's like a subreddit.
So you don't have a theory, but you're pointing out like there's clearly like a mystery here going on.
I'm pointing out that there's no confirmation that this is even a thing, really, other than that the guy from the company has acknowledged that it exists and that it is something.
Okay.
But I think personally that it ties into the larger cyberpunk world situation, that the internet is like walled off in cyberpunk because like sometime in the past, AIs got too crazy. And so they walled off the internet. And so they're out there in like the uncharted waters of the internet. There are AIs. And I think maybe there's something going on with AIs trying to, like, you know, if you're filled with computer parts, you know, an AI controlling you would be a lot easier than it would to control an organic human. So I think there's something there that has to do with that. Again, not really something that has to do with anything regarding the plot of the game, but just like in the world of cyberpunk, the D&D type world that it is, that's a thing. And I think it has something to do with that. That's my little thing. So if you want to look that up, FF06B5, I think it is. FF06B5, I think is the code. That's mine. But let's listen to some theories from some listeners.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did Brett have one?
Do you have another one?
I'm sure I have a couple. Like, I think Doc sent Marty back in time and on purpose.
The first time?
Yeah. I think the Libyans were a work.
To like save his life? To like...
Nah, just like he's not going to test himself as the first fucking human.
Oh, shit.
He's a scientist. That's bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why else would this, you know, old man befriend a weird 17-year-old kid?
It is absolutely the weirdest thing about the movie is that...
They just have a friendship.
It works. The screenplay is tight. It's all there, but why are they friends?
Why are they? No idea. No one fucking
knows. Not mentioned, not even alluded to.
There could have been a little, you know, it's like, Marty, you've been, I don't know. You've been making money by cleaning my garage for 2 years. Nothing, you know what I mean?
Nothing.
Nothing. And so, you know, like the whole bulletproof vest, like, I don't think that bulletproof vest was there because of Marty's letter. I think it was there from the get-go. Or I don't even like.
You think the Libyans were like some college professors up the way that were doing him?
I think they were a local acting troupe. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The mixed nuts improv.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
I think that Doc hired them and with some blanks and, you know, and just to get this kid going in that car.
That makes it so much more like Rick and Morty.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't actually believe that one. And, you know,
I don't believe any of these. I would love to know why Doc and Marty, like who would know? Who can tell me that? Robert Zemeckis?
Bob Gale.
Bob Gale wrote it?
I think so.
Yeah. Somebody let me know. I want to know.
Yeah, I don't believe that shit though. Yeah. It's just fun to think about. If I think of any more, I'll let you know.
Yeah, you want to take the first one?
Here comes a theory from Tim who says, Leo's character from Titanic is a time traveler sent back to ensure Rose survives.
Hmm.
It's interesting to think about, but like, why?
From a tantalizing standpoint, I give it high marks. I love the concept of it as a theory. I love the idea. In the movie, however, there's a lot of like,
where's the evidence?
Yeah, there's a lot of like, who's that guy that's like, it's like Ralph Macchio or somebody's with him at the beginning of the movie. Oh,
like his friend. Yeah.
And he wins the ticket. He like wins them.
Yeah, like if he's a time traveler, why would he like have to win the ticket?
Yeah.
Why would he be posing as like a low class dude when he can infiltrate her and protect her more easily as a member of high class society. Yeah. Why does Rose have to survive? I don't, it's interesting, but like, where's the, like, I wish there was evidence here.
I love the, you know, the evidence is same director.
Dun, 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 dun. Get on this fucking door. So you don't drown.
So you don't drown.
Don't be like the band. They went down with a shame.
So you don't drown.
Don't be like the band. Kathy Bates on a boat.
I'm the guy who hit the propeller on his way down.
Billy Zane's got a wig on.
It's the dad from Aliens. What's he doing in that show? He's also in the Doc Savage show. Or not Doc Savage. What's his name? Savage? The time traveling guy? The linear men?
Vandal.
Yeah, Vandal's the villain. Doc. Oh God. The of the tomorrow. The heroes of tomorrow. I don't know. You got it. You get it. If you watch it, you know.
Thank you for your theory.
IYKYK.
Thank you.
Yeah. Next one's from Ozzy. He says Mario, Peach, and Bowser are just a thruple with a kidnapping/rescue fetish.
Gross. Real gross.
From a tantalizing standpoint, I like this one less because it seems to subvert the concept of this. Like, if Leo was a time traveler, like, it still feels a little bit true. Like, maybe he falls in love with her. Maybe he doesn't know he's supposed to save her. Whatever. Mario, Peach, and Bowser as a thruple, like, unless they're perpetrating this against two entire national governments and armies. And that the entire war is in favor of their like weird sex.
That's
thing.
What I'm saying. Like there's no evidence.
However, they do meet up regularly to play tennis and race.
That's
and
true.
Play board games together.
That's true.
And you know, Bowser's been on a couple like good guy zones with Mario.
Yeah, but there's nothing here. There's nothing to imply to suggest like they want to fuck.
Well, baby Bowser or whatever, Bowser Jr. or whatever thinks that Peach is his mother.
Yeah, but he's also like a little liar and an asshole.
You think he's like kind of been brainwashed by daddy?
I got no clue, man.
Is Bowser in the game? Don't spoil it for me.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. I said don't spoil it for me. Like, what the fuck am I talking about? Yeah, I love the idea that Mario, Peach, and Bowser like talk, but I don't know that they're like fuck buddies, especially not Bowser and Mario.
Yeah, that to me just sounds like someone being like,
it's like Venice Beach t-shirt vibes.
Yeah, that just sounds like a 12-year-old saying that on the blacktop, you know?
Yeah. But hey, shout outs.
Yeah, shout outs to kidnapping and rescue fetishes.
Yeah, hilarious. Next one's for you.
Mary McCormick says Shocker is one of Spider-Man's most clever foes. Okay. He is a self-taught engineer and safecracker. He invented both his vibration gauntlets and his suit that prevents him from being damaged by the feedback. He's not evil or crazy. He just wants enough money to be able to live a comfortable life. Granted, he tries to get that money through mercenary work and theft, but it's not like he's trying to destroy the city or hunt down Spidey's loved ones. It seems like you're making an impassioned plea, not for how clever he is, but like how understandable his motivations are.
This is just like a little like... Shout out to Shocker.
Yeah, like I don't see what the theory is here.
Unless like, that's not how he's portrayed.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the Shocker portrayed in many, many different ways. And if you're saying that that he's one of the most clever, to that I'll say, like, I guess, like, how big is your list? Because like Doc Ock's pretty fucking smart, you know what I mean? Among and you know, Quentin Beck's pretty handy.
Doc Ock might be the smartest one.
Right. So, you know, one of the most clever, maybe, yeah. But once again, it seems like the meat, Mary, of what you're saying here is that is trying to prove that the Shocker isn't megalomaniacal and isn't actually like evil. But it's actually kind of relatable and just trying to get by. To which I say, like, yeah, I can see that.
Kind of like a chill shout out to the Shocker, which I support.
Great. Thank you, Mary. Yeah,
it's very on brand for Spider-Man to have a villain like this.
Great.
Vibes. Next one comes from Baronade colon the Flareon, which was how they asked to be referred to.
Not Baronade, just any Flareon.
The Baronade colon the Flareon, capital T, says, I was always a fan of the Grease theory where Sandy was dead the whole time, as it makes the ending actually make sense. The whole movie is her dying fever dream as she drowns at the beach. Instead of the parody of the car literally flying away, it's actually her ascending to heaven. There's actually some decent thought behind it, and I think it's actually one of the few dead all along fan theories that actually hold water, pun intended.
I want to hear what the decent thought is.
I mean, that's not totally unsupported by the movie.
It's not?
Not unsupported. Like, they do fly into the air at the end.
You're correct.
And she is, like, the very example. Like, I know she's not Australian in the actual show. But if we're just talking about the movie where Olivia Newton-John plays Sandy,
right?
Like the idea that there's like a perfect hot girlfriend from Australia who shows up and it, like everything goes right for them pretty much. And they have like a cute little teen romance. I could see how that could be that. It's not, it doesn't make the story. It makes the story worse. Right. It's not true to the, like listening to Beanie. Like Grease is the word. I'm not like thinking like, yo,
that song is tight, dude.
Yeah, it's a great song, but it just isn't like, I'm not like, oh, that girl died,
you know what I mean? I wish I had some evidence beyond like
they fly.
The movie opens and she's at a beach and at the end she's flying into the sky. Like, we all know that the flying of the sky is weird because it like there's nothing else in the movie says that, but like, you know, that doesn't necessarily lead me to believe that she's dead. It could lead me to believe that like she was telekinetic the whole time, like Carrie, or there was an alien at that time.
If the movie, yeah, if it was like they raced and then they showed a crash,
exactly,
and then inexplicably the last thing still happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing to suggest and say, or maybe there is. This, you know, Baronade is saying like there's decent thought. All I'm saying is show me the receipts. I would love to see that thought.
Yeah, I vibe with that. Dead all along fan theories that actually hold water. Shout outs to the pun.
Yeah, that's all.
Why did? But doesn't she drown like last summer?
No,
I mean, just if they're at the beach, it's like before school starts.
Yeah, because he was
he has the like
in Australia for vacation during summer.
Is that what it is?
And then he came back to school to start the senior year. And he's like, oh, I met this girl. That's the whole song of like, we made out. Like he's telling his story of like, I met this girl. And then she shows up because she happens to move to Riverdale, to wherever the fuck they live.
Greasetown.
Yeah. She moves to Greece.
Yeah.
With where he lives. And they just happen to meet up. So there's no like, no one drowned. Like he just like went home for the.
He goes to Australia.
Yeah.
Like that is crazy. That's
not like depicted in the movie much. You just see them like on the beach together at the beginning.
Like, with that like real shiny. Yeah.
Vaseline on the legs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like this theory. I think it works better. It's funny because we were just talking about this like the other day on the show. I don't remember why, but yeah, the flying car thing, like
weird.
If at the end, when they're racing for Pink's, if he just inexplicably crashes the car and then the next scene is them at the fair,
then like, you'd have, yes.
I'm like, they're dead.
Sandy.
Yeah.
But then that would only be Zuko dead. You know what I mean? Like that's his dream, which also makes sense because then she became like a total hoe bag.
Yeah.
So like that Danny Zuko being dead makes more sense to me than Sandy being dead.
Yeah. Or maybe just Kaneki died and he was just like tight.
Why'd Kaneki die?
I don't know.
Because he's like maybe he's, got Stalker Channing pregnant.
Yeah, he's like smoking. He's not doing great.
I see.
If anybody's most likely to succeed, it's not Kaneki.
Kaneki looks like, no, I'm not thinking of Kaneki. I'm thinking of the rival, the guy, the leader of the Scorpions. It looks like Edward James Olmos. Yeah.
The with the like heavy duty pockmark face.
Motherfucker look 49 years old.
They're like Edward James Olmos of today.
That dude brought somebody's abuela to that school dance.
Now we hand you, baby.
Old ass lady. Throwing at her back going like
this. How dare they dance? How dare they?
Oh, do hand job.
So funny.
All right. I think I almost got reminded of a theory I had about Freddy Krueger. I think it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember what it was. Hopefully I'll remember by the time the section's over.
There's something that you're saying is like lighting some sort of recognition fire in my brain.
It was like something about what he became. Like Freddy Krueger became. I forget. But
is it the gay thing?
No.
Because I think that's real. I don't think that's like.
What about how gay the second film is?
Yeah. One of the movies is like. The second. Is it two? Yeah. One of them is really like gay. Absolutely an allegory for being gay.
For sure.
Yeah. Next one's for you.
Oh, man. Astro says, I don't care if Miyamoto insists Mario and Luigi are humans. I'm convinced they're a part of a Mario species like Yoshi and Toad. Also, all the princesses are of a princess species. It just makes so much more sense, especially comparing Mario to the people in New Donk City, who must be a New Donker species, to explain why Mario can be human compared to them. So the theory is hard to avoid even there.
Well, he goes to space, right?
Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, maybe he's like in a multiverse. I don't know. I like.
Yeah. Like New Donk City doesn't seem like.
He doesn't look like the humans from New Donk City.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the only evidence that I'm seeing so far here in Astro's paragraph. And it's true. They do seem like very different types of people, Mario and those humans. That being said, yeah, like New Donk could just be like a, because Pauline is, I don't know if she's from there, but she's the mayor there, right?
She is the mayor of New Donk City.
And she don't look like them.
She looks like Mario, yeah.
She looks kind of like Mario.
Like she belongs in the same world that Mario's from.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe, I guess my point is maybe Mario and Pauline aren't from New Donk, but Pauline now lives in New Donk.
Or what if the Toads, throwback to a game theory that I wrote a long time ago. Mm-hmm. What if the Toads are a fungus that takes over people?
Ugh.
And that Mario is a person, but that he's just so filled up with fungus under his skin that he's like all bloated and weird.
Oh God.
You know, that would explain why they're so puffy.
That explains everything.
And then, you know, maybe the princess is invading other planets using Mario as a fomite.
Yeah, if you want to call Mario a human being, I'd be like, yeah, sure. If you want to call Mario not a human being, I'd like, yeah, sure. Like,
I think he's just a cartoon-topia guy. I think he's just like, from Toontown, and the New Donk guys are not.
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see what evidence is there to suggest that Mario is not human besides New Donk City. And I think the New Donk City can be explained away as like, that's another realm.
What about his abilities?
Okay, sure. But like,
you like basically,
but hedgehogs don't run like that either.
That's true. But Sonic is, I mean, I wouldn't say if, I don't know if Yuji Naka would say this, but I don't know that Sonic is like biologically the same. Cause there's those little animals inside of the,
oh, the flick, like, yeah.
The, you know, the flickies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not like the same type of, they're not going to grow up to be big, right?
This is the Pluto and Goofy thing again. Right. But here's the thing. I would never call someone wrong for saying both of them are dogs.
Right. 100%.
So
you're right. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
As a sexiness thing, don't love this theory. It actually like makes me feel weird. But as an evidence thing, there's a case to be made here.
I will agree that like, there's a very clear difference between Mario, Luigi, all the princesses and the New Donkers. You're absolutely
100%.
Right. Absolutely. There's a difference.
And that's not even like the only time that you see like realistic portrayals of people in Mario. So you could be right.
What are the other ones?
Like in WarioWare and stuff, there's all kinds of like weird, like,
Yeah. I don't even
real stuff. I don't know if that's even canon, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know if there is a Mario canon. Like, did one thing happen before another thing? I don't know. I don't think so.
Right.
All right. Next one. Joe Zapp says, me and my friend had come up with the theory that Dr. Robotnik actually wants Sonic to destroy all his weapons and machines because they are heavily insured. The dude is totally loaded and may have an endless hunger for greed. This would also make Dr. Robotnik the Wario of the Sonic universe. Love this one.
I mean, maybe.
Love this one as a bit.
Maybe.
Dr. Robotnik putting animals inside all his stuff and being like, the only way to get him out is to break him.
You gotta break him.
Hilarious.
You have to break them.
Hilarious bit. However, I believe that Dr. Robotnik is an evil genius with a self-superiority complex because he builds everything to look like himself. Doesn't totally necessarily disprove the idea that he's trying to do insurance fraud. Yeah,
you can be a fraud and an egotist at the same time.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that there's evidence for this in the text.
I'll agree. There's no evidence for this, but I can't disprove it either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I will give it like as a concept a 10 out of 10 because Dr. Robotnik being the Wario of the Sonic universe, I think Dr. Robotnik could afford to be a little nastier. I think he could like fart and poop a little more.
I think he's too, proud for that.
You think so? You think he's like a Dr. Oct kind of guy?
Yeah. I don't think he would do like the man clearly grooms his mustache. Like
you're right. You're right. There's some work. He wears a military uniform all the time. Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think he's just going to start dropping bombs on people like that.
Like fart bombs?
Yeah. I don't think he's. Right. I mean, real bombs, yes. Yeah. But not fart bombs.
Yeah, that's true. Boom, 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 boom.
I'm filled with gas.
Dr. Robotnik, though, 10 out of 10 villain. Love him. Equal to Bowser in every way. Love him.
Wow.
I love Dr. Robotnik.
You think he's got a kidnapping fetish?
No, I don't. I think he has an animal fetish.
Got it. Let's move on then. Hey, right. Thanks, Joe Zapp.
Hell yeah. Zap man. Sorry.
The zapper.
Next one's you.
Zach says John Wick's wife faked her death because she is part of the high table. And due to some assassin reason, she had to go back to protect him.
Okay.
I don't know anything about John Wick, so I'm gonna set this one out.
Okay. So, as a concept, like, I think there's like I don't know what happens in John Wick 4. I don't like have a concept of that. And I think it's possible that John Wick's wife could be on the high table. The high table, like in the world of John Wick, there's like an assassin organization that's like SHIELD or something. And so they have like safe houses around the world. They have all these rules and codes. And they're saying that in the original movie, the plot of the movie is that John Wick's wife died.
Yeah, I saw the first one.
Yeah, she gave him a dog. And he like gets revenge basically because the dog gets kidnapped and it's like all he has of his wife.
Yeah.
So the only thing I don't like about this, and there's not really a lot of evidence for this other than that there's like mysterious people at the top. The high table is like the council or whatever. Mm. Like there is some like shadiness going on up there at the top. So I like it in a way and it's kind of delicious in a way, but it also kind of like subverts the drama of John Wick 1. Like if John Wick 4 is like awesome and it like all pays off and there's like been clues that I didn't realize and stuff like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. But the idea that he gets reeled back in by his wife's like trying to move on and having his wife be his like human thing, you know, I like that too much to like want this to be the case. But like the reason I want to give this one props is because it seems possible. Like it's not like they're like ever going to get into Mario not being the same kind of human as a new Donker in Mario. I think this has the potential to be a real plot point in the actual jungle.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
Yeah.
If they scrape the bottom of the barrel of creativity, they might hit this one.
Like, who knows? You know what I mean? I don't know. It could be, but I don't know. I don't see the pieces lining up. Let's put it that way.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah. Last one's for you.
Jason says, I don't have much of a theory, but I have a topic. Oh my God. Put this on screen. Just put it on screen, man. Jason O'Neill. Look, man.
Is that the name of Jason?
Jason.
The Red Ranger?
Jason. Oh, man. I think the character's name is actually Jason Lee Scott, I believe.
Weird. Okay.
I could be wrong. Anyway, Jason's asking, who is Ash Ketchum's father?
I don't know if I have much if a theory, but I have a topic. Who the fuck eyed Ash Ketchum's dad?
Who tiff eyed Ash Ketchum's dad? Which is translates to, who is Ash Ketchum's father? It's Professor Oak, obviously.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think it's
Gary.
I think in the world of the game, or in the world of the show, I think he's just dead. Right? Like, I don't think that they're trying to make it like a big mystery, unless like I totally misread that show and I admittedly have not watched it past like the first time he lost.
Oh, I thought you meant Ash was dead.
Yeah, Ash died. He died the whole time.
No,
He's in the car with Sandy.
The theory everybody says, the theory everybody says about Pokemon is that Ash is a regular person in the real world and he like got in a coma. And that's why he's like in a fantasy world made just for
him. What's the evidence?
Just that he's in like a fantasy world made just for him, where like
there's no danger.
Yeah, they don't.
But
really,
I could say that about any.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. But you know, there was a time and a place on LiveJournal back in the day when writing some edgy thing like that was like, you know, you hit people at the right time, it goes viral. It's the original one. Yeah. Who is Ash Ketchum's dad? The fun answer, Professor Oak. The real answer, they probably just intended him to be dead for some reason.
Because I don't even think they went that far. I think they were just like, huh? What? No. Pokemon, let's go.
Yeah, like he doesn't have a room in the house. The mom doesn't even have a bedroom usually.
Is that real? Oh, even in the game. Right.
You, in most of the games, I don't know.
Like, mom, where do you sleep?
Yeah, I don't know. She like stands in the kitchen at all hours of the day or night.
At Professor Oak's.
Oh, see? So there we go. But in the future of Pokemon, other protagonists that have been in the games and stuff have had various different levels of father.
One of them had a dad. Was that Gen 3?
Gen 3, one of the dads. He's like the normal type gym or something like that. When you beat him, like, which is cool. But I don't know.
I mean, it's actually not cool. I mean, like, I just like, hey, my job is, I've been training Pokemon for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. Oh, my son just got a Pokemon 2 days ago. He beat me.
Wildest theory?
He beat me.
Wildest theory? It's Brock.
Brock is Ash's father?
He's Harney. There's no reason he should follow Ash around.
Did you say he's Harney?
He's Harney?
Harney?
Christ, man.
Yeah.
He's Horny? Harney.
How old is Brock to you? If Ash is 10, how old is Brock?
20.
Really?
He's a gym leader.
That means when Brock was 10 years old, he was over there smashing Mrs. Ketchum. Is that what's going
on? Okay, 28.
He's not, there's no way he's 28.
Could be. He's like horny for like all those like nurses and shit, cops.
Harney?
Like, when do you think the first time that you thought maybe my girlfriend could be a cop or a doctor?
Never. I've never had that thought in my life.
What age were you when you think you reached like the same, like anybody who's a doctor or a cop is like not 20.
Agreed. Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. Agreed.
Unless you're like a new recruit, but that doesn't seem to be the vibe of either Nurse Joy or Officer Jenny, who seem to be in charge.
They seem to be veterans.
Yeah. They seem to be in charge. So unless he's just like even more pitiful, he thinks that he can make it with these people.
That's the gag, Alex. That's the gag.
You think he's just a horny teenager who
I don't know if he's a teen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think Brock believes that anybody actually does want to have sex with him because of, in reality, he's old enough to have sex?
No, not necessarily. I think Brock is constantly just shooting his shot. Because he
Ash's mom?
Got him. Let's move on, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a great idea.
I remember this series. This isn't mine, but this is like, you know, a classic from back in the day.
Yeah.
That for a while, I don't think it's the case anymore. But for a while, it was possible that at a certain point in the Matrix timeline, the Terminator could have taken place.
100%. Like that.
You know what I mean?
Like, I get what you mean.
It's just fun to think about. For a while, I remember there being like no contradiction. Then something.
I don't know that there. Like, I mean, maybe a light contradiction in the Animatrix one where they like say what happened, right?
I think that's what spurned it on. It was those probably the best sequences. What were they called? The sequences that explained the rise of the robot empire.
That was very cool.
That was what I think spurned on a lot of those thoughts of like, oh shit.
The Terminator basically happened in the Matrix.
Yeah, briefly. You know what I mean?
Anyway. I like that. All right. But that's Pape Sylvia.
Hey man, thanks for your theories, you guys.
And that one, I love the name of that one because that one's going to keep coming back again and again. I have some notes though for you listeners. Longer theories. Give me more.
I don't want a longer theory. I want evidence.
That's what I mean. Like, give me more to chew on.
Don't tell me the theory. Yeah. Give me bullet points of like the supports the theory.
Yeah. If you're going to make a huge assertion, give me the, that's the, we're, you know, Brett and I, we want the evidence.
Show me the receipts.
Yeah. But that's it for this. Thank now you guys. We're going to move into a segment that we do every time on the show. And that's fan Q&A. Last time we had the show, Gerard was on the show, so I got a bunch of questions for the next time Gerard is on the show. So I went to the patrons and I asked them another question, which is, what is the luckiest thing that's ever happened to you?
Mm.
And because we haven't answered it, I thought maybe we could go first.
Luckiest
thing that's ever happened to you.
Jesus.
I maybe have one that I'll just say if you guys don't have anything that comes to mind, to give you guys a little bit more time to think.
Mm-hmm.
But does one come to mind for either of you?
Negative.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Luckiest thing that ever happened to me was just a confluence of like events and circumstances that led us to be in Norway for a day trip with Kelly, Gerard, Norm in Norway, which was great, in like a little sleepy fishing village. And we went on a hike and we were with like half the people that made all the games of our childhood from Rare, and Charles Martinet from Mario, and a lot of other things, but it was Mario, right? And David Wise, who did the music for like Donkey Kong and stuff. And we were just hanging out in the fucking like town. We went on hikes. We went to some like abandoned estate in the woods that had like a, you could have coffee there out on the balcony, and Norm was with us. And so he was just like asking everybody these like deep cut questions about like their careers, but it was like kind of like talking about some, you know, interesting parts of video game history. And it was just a wonderful afternoon and a beautiful day. And I don't know that there's ever been something that happened to me that everything came together that perfectly, but I feel like that was a very lucky situation and a great day.
Mm. Yeah, it's all, you just described your like best day.
It was a great day. I don't know if it was my best day, but it was like, to me, truly like, what are the odds of all of this happening? Like, we went to a shrimp restaurant, like a seafood restaurant by the ocean, and like we watched the ship come in with the shrimp on it that we ate like 5 minutes later. It was crazy. It's crazy.
Great day.
Well, I still don't have anything, so maybe we should move on to the.
What about you, Ted?
Stuff from the audience.
Mine is very mundane, but one time, somebody had such bad handwriting when they deposited $20 that it went straight into my account.
Wow,
$20.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
Wow. Depositing $20 is like pretty wild too.
It was either 20 or 25.
Still.
Oh, 25. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. No. Okay. Well, yeah. Brett, if one comes to you,
yeah,
as
yeah,
we I'll go, speak up. But let's get in there. You take this first one.
Next says, sorry to sound sentimental, but the luckiest thing that has ever happened to me was meeting my wife.
Aww.
I met her in my first class of my undergraduate year. And now, 14 years later, I can't imagine a life without her.
Look at that.
Hey, man, when she's not over your shoulder, write the real answer for us, okay? Next.
And she loves listening to your podcast.
Yeah, right, right.
Incredible.
That's very sweet.
Delightful. Very, very, very cute stuff. Okay, next one is from Fru For All, who says, for a hobby, I like to do coin roll hunting. Mm. I go to my local bank and ask for either pennies, quarters, or half dollars. About a month ago, I went to my bank and asked if they had any half dollar. Excuse me. If they had any half dollar rolls, and I was in luck because they had five. I took them home and wasn't expecting much, but I ended up finding 19 silver half dollars, which I sold and made $70.
Damn, dude.
Dude, that's some like...
Yeah. Wait, you might be putting me on the game real quick. Yeah,
that's some next level... The fact that that's the hobby is like very interesting to me. I love that.
Interesting.
Coin roll hunting.
That's cool.
That's fun. I never even thought of doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, interesting.
Next one's for you.
TK says, I want a raffle to get in a money booth wind tunnel. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's at a city block party. I remember they gave me goggles and a tiny bag to stuff the fake cash into. I was around 12 at the time, so I didn't have the greatest strategy for grabbing the bills, but wound up with like $125. The biggest caveat was that I had to open a savings account with my winnings at a local bank in order to access them. My mother convinced me to leave it in savings and not withdraw any of it. I kept that account open for like 15 years before finally closing it. That's fun.
That's awesome. I wonder how much that ended up being in the end.
I think my strat, I'm a big guy, I have a big shirt. I think my strat would be to open up my shirt and just like hope that a bunch of that money gets stuck in there. You
know? Yeah. I feel like big people kind of have the
advantage.
Like I could just kind of walk and like press.
Just expand against the sides.
Press my body up against it and just everything I got.
Someone's so fat in that wind tunnel.
Just wipe my hands.
You're fucking like your gut to your like ass. Yeah. It makes a perfect vacuum. Yeah. Like Nothing above the waist is flying. It's all just at your feet.
If you just go with your hands up, you can like wipe your hands down just, across your body.
Like fucking squeegee. Yeah. You just put it in your pocket slowly. You still have right you still have 30 seconds left. There's no money left flying.
Everybody's like pissed at you just outside.
Yeah.
Looking at you with your hair fucking up. I love that.
You're sitting there already like waddling your way with your pockets full of cash to the fucking churro stand.
I thought
TK, eat me, fuckers.
I thought TK was gonna say that they like that and then I like needed a new computer and I bought it with that money 10 years later or something.
Nope, just $125.
I'm just interested to know how much. But yeah, there you go. Next one's from Wayne, who's done pretty much every Wayne in the comic book world now. So I think we're just back to Wayne
just
now.
Just to Wayne.
Was walking home from school one night and $20 just blew down the road right into my foot. Picked that bad mother up and deposited it in my bank account. And my handwriting was kind of bad. picked that bad mother up and bought comics with it.
That is pretty lucky, dude.
That I love that one because there was no hesitation. I love that you were like, sick. And then you just like went and bought comics.
I like that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That bad mother bought some comics with $20
bill. Yeah, dude.
That's like three or four comics. That's pretty good.
It depends on when this is.
Yeah, that's true. If it was 1995, you're like, whoo.
$20, 1995. How many comics do you can get? Three or four?
In 1995, five or six.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
What were they? $3?
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Next one's for you.
This is from KDD. Look at me, it's KDD.
I died at the beach and the D stands for drowning.
I write the show, it's the way it'll go. Here we go. It's okay. KDD has a big paragraph with no paragraph breaks. Here we go. So some people may think this is incredibly unlucky, but I think it's one of those luck is what you make it, how you perceive it type of stories. When I was born, I was a significantly large baby. without going into too much gross detail, I was too big to fit the birth canal. Oh, ooh. And my shoulders were stuck. Yeah. The doctors had to bend my arm behind me to get me the rest of the way out and save both me and my mother. The unnatural position that my arm was in damaged the nerve path leading from my neck to my arm, and I was unable to move the right side of my neck or right arm at all when I was born. The kicker? This all happened on a Friday the 13th.
Whoa.
Doesn't sound too lucky so far, but I promise I'm getting there.
Okay, Katie, I'm with you.
All right, yeah, it's okay.
Got me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Through months of physical therapy and a chiropractor that specialized in infants, my parents were exuberant when they watched my fingers twitch for the first time. Eventually, I was able to recover a large majority of my range of motion in my arm and my neck is completely unaffected. I consider this the luckiest thing to have ever happened to me because, against all odds, I survived and had a relatively normal life. I'm still slightly limited in movement in my right arm, but it has never stopped me from achieving everything I wanted to do. My friends and I, all having grown up with the movie Finding Nemo, have always called it my lucky fin, and 13 has always been my lucky number. I consider myself lucky because I had a family and a group of doctors that supported me through it all, and ultimately, what could have led to an injury that was way worse, or even death if I'm honest, left such a small lasting impact on me, my family, and my life. Every day is lucky when the day that started it all could have been your last. Stay lucky and keep living. Shout outs to Katie and just a great sense of perspective.
Yeah. Well written, heartwarming, and the length was warranted. There was enough information in it to warrant the length that it was.
Just give me some paragraph breaks. We'll be good. Katie, great sense of perspective.
That might be on Google Forms. You know, I don't know. So from Katie.
Wait, what does that mean? That might be on Google Forms.
You might not be able to press enter.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. So from KDD, we go to Kevin Van D.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and it's even. Okay. All right.
This is a big story.
This is a big one. I survived a scary car accident that I will never forget. Mm. For context, this was all my fault and I had driven irresponsibly that day. Mm. I want to mention this because we're talking about luck here and didn't want it to seem like the conditions were unlucky for me and imply that I was not responsible for the accident. It was definitely all on me.
Okay.
Big of you to say straight out the gate. About 10 years ago, I was driving from my parents' house to my, at the time, girlfriend's place. It was a very slippery winter day in Canada. From what I remember, the weather at the time was overcast with no precipitation other than what was left over from the night before. I had just driven out of the cul-de-sac my parents lived on and started down the street leading to an intersection of the main city street. I had admittedly accelerated way faster than I should have for what had to be at most 100 meters, 109 yards of road between the turn and the upcoming intersection. Maybe I was excited to hang out with my girlfriend, but I think I was a fast driver in general at the time. Even now, I still have some tendencies. The light had turned.
There's a darkness living within me, a demon, a speed demon.
The light had turned red as I approached, so I started braking, but I wasn't slowing down.
Uh-oh.
Even with winter tires and pumping the brake as much as I could, I was sliding down the street into active traffic. Mm. Holy shit. In retrospect, I may have been able to turn into the snowbanks along the sides of the road to stop myself early, but I think ultimately I didn't have enough time to think of other options. I ended up sliding past the stop line and crashing into what I think was a dump truck.
Ooh.
I was then quickly turned 90 degrees and dragged down the road for a bit before the truck stopped and released me to stop on my own a few meters away. Jesus. My car had its left headlight and part of the bumper torn off, but was still drivable. No airbags had gone off in my car, but thankfully, neither me nor the other driver had sustained any injuries. Now, all this seems pretty bad overall, right? I didn't even have my driver's license on me, so I had to call my dad, who's still just down the road, if you remember, to walk it over to me before the police showed up.
Bro.
That sucks. And it's embarrassing.
It's very dangerous.
Here's what I consider lucky. I had hit the front set of tires on the dump truck. During the aftermath, the other driver had said to me that I had just barely missed their gas tank by maybe a foot. I can't imagine how the accident could have turned out if I had hit that dead on instead. Sometimes I still think about what would have changed if I had brushed my teeth for a second longer that day or spent an extra second tying my boots up tight.
Yes.
That shit gives me chills.
Moral of the story, don't drive like I did. Whatever you think is worth driving faster for in conditions like that, just think if it is worth not making it there at all. Drive safe.
Good advice.
Yeah. Shout outs, Kevin Van D.
Sounds like Kevin has matured a little bit.
Yeah. But not that much. He still has tendencies.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. I'm still an asshole.
Fairfax, I think it is. There is next to the that crazy looking Peterson Automotive Museum that's got the big red and silver thing all over the top of it. And the Academy Museum, there's that intersection right there. Maybe it's with Wilshire. Not sure. I think it might be. One time when I was driving back from Comedy Sports, I was right there and a guy like in a bright yellow fucking whatever just blew through the light right towards me at like 75, 80 miles an hour.
Fuck.
And there was nothing I could do. I tried to like keep driving. Basically like slowed down as best as he could and got to me. And when he hit me, it was like a little tap. But I always think about that because anything like, and like just a few little things different, and I would have been like apps, like no question dead, which is just so crazy to me.
You never know, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a lucky? You have a lucky?
Not really.
Not really.
Not really a lucky.
No, I'm never. Nothing.
Nothing good has ever. Nothing good has ever happened.
Not one time.
Yeah, nothing I can think of.
All right. Well, keep it in mind. Maybe next time. Maybe you'll think of it. Mm. But let's really quick talk about next week's question. This is the one that you guys can answer for next time. Feel free to write your answers in the YouTube comments. Obviously, this time I didn't get to go to any YouTube comments just because of the nature of today's question, but we will continue to do that every time. The question for next week is, what IP would you resurrect? Could be anything, not just games. Could be comics, could be movies, could be TV show, could be anything, could be a toy, could be, I guess it could even be a fucking fast food item. That's intellectual property. What would you bring back and how would you bring it back? What would be the new vibe? What would be the pitch? How about that?
That's weird. Cause up until like a couple of years ago, I would have said Ghostbusters in a second.
Oh yeah.
But it's like happening. It's weird. Yeah.
Same thing with Turtles. Turtles is getting like finally like.
Turtles never went away.
That's true.
Turtles never went away.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Damn. Wow. I really want Virtua Fighter to come back. Like,
yeah,
man, that series never got enough flowers.
Really fun. Like, I don't, if you never played it before, listener, the controls in Virtua Fighter are really neat and really fun.
Oh, that's how I feel about Virtua Fighter. Yeah. I would love if like I could play in this day and age, like in, let's say 2024, I would love if I could play Virtua Fighter while eating a brand new Arch Deluxe. I would love that. Oh, nigga, I forgot. Bring back the Grand Mac.
Ooh,
Christ on a stick.
I can't believe, you know what's funny? I was so much more about the Mac Mini than the Grand Mac.
But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You can, they had a Mac for everybody.
You want the Mac family back.
Sure.
You just, whatever. You just,
but if I choose one of these, because I don't want one Big Mac.
Yeah.
I don't want two. I want one and a half, and a that's what the one. Grand Mac was.
Yeah, that's about right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a little too saucy for me.
But I understand.
That's the best I got. I did enjoy it when I had it.
Yeah, Grand Mac, Virtua Fighter 6. What would I bring back? I would bring back like 90s Star Trek if I could. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like with those weird ass uniforms that look like.
It's not necessarily about the production design, but more about the style of storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Though I hear that this new one is like pretty much return to form in terms of formula. I haven't seen it. I can't speak to it, but I hear that at least it's a crew that goes on adventures and has science fiction problems at each turn, which, you know, that's a pretty good explanation of what it is.
I would resurrect. Like, I wouldn't. This would be a monkey paw at this point, but I would resurrect Arrested Development again.
Yeah, why not?
I wouldn't like. I wish the conditions were right so that I could wish it back.
I want like Arrested Development, same writers, different entire cast. Write me another story about rich people.
But since Arrested Development is gone, I want once again, like I want Venture Brothers back, but I want the conditions to be right for it.
Yeah. But they're still not theoretically making this movie or whatever.
The movie is supposedly happening. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I wish we could have Venture Brothers once a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we're not. So you know what I'll say? Fuck it. You know what I want? Real talk. I want a reunion for the, like, of the third member of that holy trilogy of like TV comedy, in my opinion. I want a reunion for Spaced.
Oh shit.
I want more Spaced.
One season of Spaced, more?
Just bring them back.
That would be, that would actually be like a very like, on Brett, like, you know, they did it for the fucking movie with the drug addicts. What was it? Requiem for a Dream, right? They made a sequel.
Oh,
or no. What was it?
Trainspotting?
Yeah. Trainspotting. Yeah. Yeah. Trainspotting 2. They made a sequel.
I would love if Peg and Wright and Stevens could come back.
Just catch them up. Just catch us up with those characters.
Please. Yes.
Be like, remember when you changed your name and you were like a zombie killer? Oh yeah.
I would love that.
Dude, I think my answer, like your Ghostbusters, would have been The Matrix.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, we're living in it.
Yeah, we're living in the Matrix now. I need to watch Matrix, Crazy Matrix.
You haven't watched the new movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it yet, but it did come back. Same thing with Ghostbusters. Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, like...
I don't know what I'm doing.
It's here.
I guess, let's see. If I could bring back anything... Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Some JRPG games that don't have games anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I would love a sequel to The Legend of Dragoon. I would love a sequel to what's the Dino Crisis? Capcom game could be good.
You reminded me. I want Capcom to have Marvel's licensing. I want more Marvel fighting games from Capcom.
I would love a pure Marvel fighting game. Yeah.
I want an X-Men fighting game from Capcom.
That'd be so correct for them to do. Today. They would make a lot of money doing that. All they have to do is just make a pixel art fighting game. But it could be 3D even. I'm trying to think. Ninja Gaiden would be a great thing to bring back.
What? You said that like the guy in The Wizard.
Yeah, that's my one thing that I say wrong.
Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
I don't think
about it. I just say it, you know?
Oh, man.
A Star Fox game could be cool. Just like an actual return to form Star Fox game. Maybe like a roguelike Star Fox could be good.
Mm.
Like, imagine you play Star Fox 64, but it's a roguelike. There's 35 planets, or the planets are randomized in some way.
I feel you.
Be good. Trying to think. F-Zero would be a great one to bring back.
Once again, Metroid Prime. I would have said that probably, but here we are.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, 4 is theoretically been in development for a long time.
Yeah.
And we'll this see. Remake looks suspiciously like it's made in an engine that's specifically made to make Metroid games.
We'll
in.
See. We'll see.
But Bayonetta is another one that I would have said, but it's out.
Mm.
We're just in the age of everything that we want existing, whether it's good or not, which is kind of good and kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm interested in what you guys out there would like to hear.
I want to hear what Ted has
to say. Oh, yeah. I haven't forgot about Ted. Ted, what's your dream?
I would like either Reborn or spiritual successor of Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen.
What the fuck is that? What is that?
Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's Tactics Ogre, right? Or is it different?
Tactics Ogre plays more like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
Ogre Battle... You start with a squad of units, and each unit has several characters in the unit.
Yeah.
And you go out and you have battles with the enemy units, and you conquer each map and liberate the cities.
What did you used to play this on?
PlayStation
1. It was on Sega Saturn is the one that I saw. I don't even know if that came out in the United States.
I've never experienced another game give me as satisfying of gameplay like this.
Mm. Ogre Battle is the original game, which I did not know. And then Ogre Battle 64 is the one that I played the most in my life.
Which I think is actually pretty freaking similar.
Yeah. And then Tactics Ogre is the kind of side game that came out on Game Boy, and then they put out a new version of Tactics Ogre again, which is more Final Fantasy Tactics. But
you got anything else that you're trying to resurrect there, Ted?
Oh, but aside from that,
yeah,
not
really. No, that's it.
I don't think so.
There's a really good mushroom cheeseburger at Carl's Jr. 15 years ago.
Oh, York pieces.
I feel like I remember that.
Mushroom onion burger.
I feel like I remember that.
That was really good.
I want York pieces back.
York?
York.
York pieces.
Yeah.
They're like little peppermint patties.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could get down with that. What about a junior mint?
Not the same.
Not the same. Okay. Not fair enough. Same.
Yeah, wasn't there something that we were out of all, oh man, we can't talk about it.
No, not yet.
Okay. Never mind.
But yeah, that's the question for you guys out there. What IP would you resurrect? Could be anything, not just games. And please, please get specific about your vision for this, because that's what we're going to dissect the next time we have the show. So please share your vision. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 16 of the Super Beard Show. I'm Alex.
My name is Brad.
And I'm Ted.
We'll see you guys next time.
Real talk, though. We appreciate you guys very much. Thank you for listening and playing with us.
Truly.
Bye. Bye.
Pape Sylvia. This week, the news. Pape Sylvia.